This is the Relic Radio Show, old-time radio entertainment still standing the test of time, from RelicRadio.com. This week on the Relic Radio Show, our hour of radio drama begins with Authors Playhouse. We'll hear their story, The Woman at Seven Brothers. This one aired March 12, 1945. After that, it's Gunsmoke and The Juniper Tree, their story from August 30th, 1952.
They say what happened was all my fault. And no matter what I tell them, I can't convince them that it was her that really caused it all. Maybe I shouldn't have done what I did. But still, if it hadn't been for what she did, it wouldn't have happened at all.
Strange and treacherous are the ways of the sea. And stranger still are the people who fall under its evil spell of loneliness. Tonight, Author's Playhouse presents a gripping story of a desolate lighthouse and of how it charted the fates of the three who dwelt within it. Wilbur Daniel Steele's The Woman at Seven Brothers.
She was pretty, all right. In a way, I guess she was beautiful. Beautiful and young. But there was something about her that made you sort of want to keep away from her. I'll tell you a fact. That first day I came out to the lighthouse to be assistant keeper, I said to myself, old man Feddersen, he's all right. But that young wife of his, she's a cold proposition. Yes, that's just what I said that first day I saw him.
Hello! You in the dinghy. Row over the Jacob's Ladder. Over here. Pass up the painter. Heave it up, boy.
Here she comes.
Got it. All right. I'll hold her steady. Up the ladder with you. Watch yourself. Steady. There. You all right?
Yes. Just a little winded, I guess. I didn't think I'd have such a big sea when I started out. Oh, you're Mr. Feddersen, ain't you?
I am. Reckon you're Ray Johnson. Inspector told me you'd be out the first of the week.
Yes, sir.
Well, if you got your breath back, let's get along.
I guess I'm okay now.
That all you brought with you? Just one bundle?
Yes, sir.
Well, reckon you won't need much of that. No fancy dinner parties or dances out here.
Yes, sir.
And stow that, sir, son. My name's Matt. Uncle Matt, if you like.
Yes, Uncle Matt.
We have a place fixed up for you in the storeroom. Let's get inside.
All right.
There are just three rooms out here in the light. Storeroom here. Living room's up there. And the keeper's room is up at the top. Beyond that's the walk around where the light is. Not much chance of getting lost out here. This here's the door to the storeroom. There's a lamp in the corner. Better light it.
All right.
Nothing fancy, you see, but it's dry and comfortable. Besides, you'll just be sleeping in here. You've got the run of the place. Just make yourself at home.
Thank you, Uncle Matt.
Supper's ready, Matt.
All right, Anna. This here's Ray, a new assistant. My wife, Anna.
Hello.
How do, Mrs. Patterson?
Better set another place, Anna. Ray'll be with us as soon as he gets into some dry clothes.
Two or three. Don't make no difference. Come whenever you've a mind to.
Don't pay her no mind, son. It's mighty lonesome for her out here at Seven Brothers.
Well, I don't want to be no bother.
Bother? Oh, nonsense. Get your clothes changed and come up to supper.
For a long time, I tried not to pay much attention to her, any more than you'd notice the cat. Then one night after I'd been there about 2 months, it happened. It was at prayers. I remember Feddersen was uncommon long-winded that night. He rambled on and on like the surf on the ledge, never coming to an end. My mind strayed. I counted the canes in the chair seat where I was kneeling. Pleated a corner of the tablecloth between my fingers for a spell. By and by, my eyes went wandering up the back of the chair. The woman was looking at me. Both our heads were down in the shadow under the edge of the table, with Feddersen clear over on the other side of the stove. And there were her two eyes hunting mine between the spindles and the shadow. You won't believe me, but I tell you, I felt like jumping to my feet and running out of the room. It was so queer. I don't know what her husband was praying about after that. All my eyes were in the top of my head. It got so I couldn't stand it. Then before I realized it, we were saying the Lord's Prayer.
Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Well, Ray, you better be seen to the light. Coming on dark pretty early these nights.
I was just going up, Uncle Matt.
That's fine. I'll be getting some work done on the ladder. Did I tell you what the inspector told me today?
The inspector? What?
He said they might be giving me another lighthouse. A bigger one. Maybe the one out at Kingdom Come.
That'd be fine.
Well, he only said maybe. But he did say it's about time I got a light that'd do me credit. Been out here at Seven Brothers 23 years.
I left the room and went up the stairway, thinking about how many times the old man had told me that he'd been out there for 23 years. He seemed to relish being a martyr. When I got up to the walk around, it was like a big load had dropped off my shoulders. Everything was free and breezy, with the waves way down below. I trimmed the wicks and lit the light and stood leaning against the railing, watching the Boston boat go by. Then I heard the door on the other side of the tower open and footsteps coming round to me.
Can you hear the orchestra yet?
The orchestra?
I've noticed when there's weather coming on, the wind's in the northeast. You can hear the orchestra playing a border just over there. I make it out now. Do you?
Yes. I hear it all right now. I wonder what the captain's thinking of fetching in so close tonight. It's no way to do, I tell you. If it wasn't for this light, she'd pile up on the ledge some thick night.
Oh.
And then where'd all their music be of a sudden, and their goings on, and they're singing.
And dancing.
Dancing?
That's dance music.
How do you know?
How do I know? Don't you know how to dance, Ray?
No.
You should know how to dance, Ray.
I guess so. See, she's cleared the rip there now, and the music's gone.
Wouldn't you like to dance, Ray? Dance with me.
I guess so.
Maybe someday we can dance together, Ray. Somewhere, I'm sure, where there are lots of people all laughing and singing.
But how? The lighthouse.
I won't always be out here. When Matt gets the Kingdom Come light, we'll be living on shore. Maybe you'll be his assistant. Or you can come and visit us. You'd come, wouldn't you?
Sure. Of course I'd come, if you wanted me.
Yeah. I would want you to. Ray.
Yes?
What's the matter? Are you afraid of me?
Afraid? No, of course not.
You don't understand, do you, how lonely I am? How lonely we all are out here. It's the light, Ray, that's what it is. Made a captive of him. There. It's doing the same to you. But I won't let it get me. You must help me, Ray.
Help you? How can I help you?
You must love me, Ray.
What's wrong, Ray? Land sakes. You look like you'd come on a ghost.
Nothing's wrong. I just don't feel good.
You sure look it. Or take something.
No, it's just that it don't go good with me being out here on the light. I want to leave.
I never heard you talk like that before, Ray. Seems like you was taken to it out here.
No, I don't like it. It's too lonely, that's what it is.
Well, if you're set on it, the inspector's due in 2 weeks. We'll speak to him about it then.
It's hard to tell how those 2 weeks went by. I don't know why, but I felt like hiding in a corner all the time. I had to come to meals, but I didn't look at her, though. Not once, though I was tempted to. When the inspector came out with a tender, I told him I was through. He looked at me kind of sneering and said,
Soft, eh? Well, you'll have to stay out here till next relief.
Yes, sir.
There's got to be a house cleaning at Seven Brothers about then anyway.
House cleaning, Mr. Bayless? Well, how do you mean?
I mean I've got you the berth at Kingdom Come, Matt. How do you like that?
Kingdom Come?
Hmm?
No.
Matt, it's wonderful.
Yep. Thought that knocked the wind out of your sails, Matt. And if this chicken-hearted assistant of yours hadn't turned soft on us, he might have got the light out here.
I can't believe it. After all these years.
That's no more than you deserve. About time they saw your worth. I told them, I guess.
No. No, it's not for such as me. I'm good enough for Seven Brothers, and that's all, Mr. Bayless. That's all.
Huh? You mean you won't take it?
Matt, are you crazy? Kingdom Come is shorelight. It's what we wanted, what you've wanted.
That's just it. Kingdom Come's too important a light, a shorelight. Too much responsibility for such as me.
Well, I'll look here, man. Why, you are crazy.
You'll take it all right, Inspector. Because if he doesn't...
No, Anna. There's no cause to be getting excited.
You don't expect me to spend the rest of my life out here, do you?
Seven Brothers is a good light. I've sort of gotten used to it.
Why, you've been after me to get Kingdom Come for you for 15 years, and now you're...
I know, and I'm grateful to you, Inspector, but it's too much. They'll have to give it to someone else.
Someone else? While we stay out here for 15 more years. Until we die. Until the loneliness kills everything that's human inside of us.
You shouldn't talk like that, Anna.
I'll talk as I please. I'm tired of you. The light and everything to do with this cursed place.
Well, Matt, I guess if you've made up your mind...
I can't understand it. She seemed happy enough out here.
Well, she's pretty young, Matt. I guess it is kind of lonely for her, all right.
No, I think she needs a holiday. Yep, maybe that's it. It's our anniversary tomorrow. Maybe if we come ashore and bought her a new dress, well, she might feel better.
Ah, that's a good idea, Matt. And in the meantime, why don't you think it over? About Kingdom Come, I mean. Sleep on it. Drop in at the office tomorrow. We'll talk it over.
No, Mr. Bayless. My mind's made up. I'm not going to take Kingdom Come.
After the inspector left, it was my watch. I went up the spiral stairway to the walk-around to have a look at things. She was there on the seaward side, wrapped in some silky thing. I was surprised to see her there. Started to go back down, but she saw me. So I stopped beside her and leaned on the rail. For a while, we stood there, listening to the whistles of the Boston boat and the fisherman's conch farther offshore. Boston boat's in too close to the light. Probably hasn't picked it up yet, account of the fog. I better get out the foghorn and give those fellas a toot.
Why?
Why? Because if she don't pick up the light before very many minutes, she'll be too close in to where. The tide will have her on the rocks, that's why. I guess she's picked up the light. She's veering out again.
You're getting to be just like him. All that matters is the light. Ray, you know why I'm up here, don't you? I came up to say goodbye to you.
I don't understand.
You heard what Matt said about Kingdom Come. Be it so. On his own head. I'm going to leave him the first chance I get. Ray, I got friends in Brightonboro.
Brightonboro? Why are you telling me?
So you'd know, Ray.
Well, I saw them off the next morning, down the new Jacob's Ladder into the dinghy boat. Then I went back and lay down on my cot and tried to get some sleep. But I couldn't keep her out of my mind. I didn't take what she said about running away very seriously. But when they hadn't returned by 6, I began to wonder. Matt had said they'd be back before dark. They told me later what had happened on shore.
Now, Matt, there's no need for you to be worrying yourself.
But she may not be in Brightonboro, Mr. Bayless. Maybe something's happened to her.
Nothing's happened to her. Probably just decided to visit her friends.
But why would she go off without telling me? Said she'd meet me at your office after she finished shopping. I can't understand it.
Ah, there's no understanding women, Matt. She might have got it in her mind to teach you a lesson.
But why? She's never done anything like this before.
Well, she's mighty upset over your not taking Kingdom Come. She appeared to have her heart set on it. Maybe she thought that by going off like this, you might be brought around a change of mind.
Well, if that's what's behind it, she's mighty bad mistaken. There's nothing going to make me change my mind about taking that shore light.
Well, good evening.
Good evening. Are you Mr. Adams?
Yes.
I'm Matt Patterson. My wife, Anna, told me she knew the Adams family here in Brightonboro. I thought she might be here.
Well, come in, please, would you?
This here is Mr. Bayless, Mr. Adams.
How do you do?
How do you do, Mr. Adams?
Mr. Patterson, Anna's here, all right.
Yeah, you see, Matt? Told you there was no reason to be worrying yourself.
Well, to tell you the truth, Mr. Patterson, I'm mighty glad you've come.
Then something is wrong. Where is she?
She's in there with the others. No, just a moment, please. Before you go in, I want to tell you what's been happening.
Well?
We're having a birthday party for my daughter, Louise. She and Anna grew up together. Well, when Anna got here about 3 hours ago, we were mighty glad to see her. Her dropping in unexpected, just when we were having the party, you know. But she wasn't here more than an hour before she and Louise quarreled over Louise's young man. We patched it up all right. I guess we'd all been drinking a lot, and Anna more than the rest of us.
Well,
the truth is, Mr. Feddersen, she seems like something's gotten into her.
Thank you, Mr. Adams. If something's gotten into her, I'll soon have it out.
Now, Matt, think before you do anything you'll be sorry for.
If anyone's going to be sorry, it won't be me. Anna! Put down that glass. Get your coat.
Well, if it isn't old man Feddersen. How delightful. Ain't you afraid something might happen to it while you're away?
It's the work of the devil.
Sure. What's wrong with the devil? The best friend a person ever has.
Shut your blasphemous mouth.
Oh.
Now, come on. We're going home.
Matt Feddersen, you'll live to regret that. If it's the last thing I ever do, pay you back for that slap.
I was up in the tower when I saw the dinghy. I could make out the figure of Matt bent over the oars and her in the stern with her face lifted up, looking toward the light. When I went down to help them, I could see that something happened. Matt didn't say much, just that he was going up to bed. I told him not to worry. I'd been resting all day, and I'd take the whole night watch if he wanted me to. Anna didn't say a word, just climbed up the Jacob's ladder and disappeared into the lighthouse. When I'd made the dinghy secure, I went back up to the tower. It was a little after midnight when she came up.
Has the Boston boat gone by yet, Ray?
Not yet. She's late on the return trip tonight. She'll be long, I reckon.
He didn't tell you, did he?
Tell me?
What happened?
No. I didn't know anything had happened.
I ran away to Brightonboro. But he came after me and he made me come back. I told you once I'd need your help, Ray.
Anna, I don't think you'd...
Ray, Brightonboro isn't far enough. We gotta go where he can't come after us. Someplace where he'll never be able to find us.
Us? You want me to go away with you?
Yes. I've known for a long time that that's the way it would have to be. Ever since that night.
But how, Anna? We can't do it. You're his wife. It isn't right.
It doesn't matter, Ray. All that matters is that I love you. And you love me, Ray.
No, I don't. It's not true.
But it is, Ray. You've loved me for a long time.
I tell you, I don't. I don't.
Ray.
Oh, Anna. How can you be so beautiful?
Because I've always wanted to be so.
Your eyes. Why are they so heavy?
Because they want to see so many things I've dreamed of.
Your lips. Color of blood.
Because they've wanted so long to be kissed. Kiss me again, Ray. Ray, I have some money. We can go ashore tonight, now. By tomorrow, we'll be far away from here, from the light and from him.
I was on fire. I suppose if she'd asked me to jump off the walk around, I'd have done it. It all seems like a dream now. But somehow, the next thing I knew, I was in the dinghy waiting for her. Then she was coming down the ladder and climbing into the boat.
Here, Ray, you better take this.
What is it?
There's $300 in that oilskin. Our freedom. Now cast off. Hurry.
All right, Anna. Anna, the light. It's out.
Wait. Don't go back.
I've got to see what's wrong.
light it again.
There's nothing wrong with it. I turned it off.
You? But why?
I told him I'd pay him back.
But turning off the light? No, I can't let you do it.
Wait, Ray. It's calm and the ships can see the rocks in the moonlight. Nothing will happen. Except that he'll lose his precious light. He must sleep and the light out. He won't be able to explain that.
No, I'm going back.
I won't let you.
Sit down, Anna.
No!
Look out. You're kicking the oars.
They're not going back.
I don't want to hurt you, Anna. Look out. Oh. Anna. I'm sorry, Anna. Blood. Your hair is sticky with blood. Anna, can't you hear me? You'll be all right. You just bumped your head. You'll be all right. I sat on the bottom of the boat, holding her head on my lap. I don't know how long it was, but then suddenly I felt the rain and realized that the terrible noise in my ears was thunder and wind. And then I heard it. The Boston boat was lost in a sudden storm and was trying to pick up the light. But there was no light, and I was helpless. The breakers were tossing the dinghy about, and I had no oars to fight them with. They'd gone overboard during our struggle, and I had drifted too far out to swim back to the lighthouse. The boat was closer. I thought if I shouted, they might be able to hear me and veer off.
Hello! Hello! Boston boat ahoy! Boston boat!
It was no use. She kept coming, straight for the rocks. Suddenly, I realized the storm had pushed me back toward the ledge. And then another wave break broke over the dinghy, and I felt the boat smash and crumble beneath me. Somehow, I pulled myself and Anna clear of the tangled wood and struck out blindly toward the lighthouse. She was limp, and several times I almost lost her. Then I could see the Jacob's ladder tossing about alongside the pilings. But just as I reached it, I heard the Boston boat again.
And now, they say it was my fault that the people on the Boston boat were drowned. Because I let the light go out. And they say I murdered Anna for the $300. They won't believe me when I try to tell them it was her that put out the light. And that she gave me the money. The doctor says she didn't drown while I was swimming back with her to the lighthouse. There wasn't any water in her lungs. And they say I murdered her. That I hit her with something and killed her. When I try to make them see what really happened, they won't believe me. They just won't believe me.
You have heard Wilbur Daniel Steele's story, The Woman at Seven Brothers, adapted for Author's Playhouse by Leslie Edwards and directed by Mr. Albert Cruz. Miss Fern Person was heard as Anna, Mr. Clock Rider as Matt, and Mr. Harry Elders as Ray. Others in the cast of Author's Playhouse tonight included Mr. Ralph Camargo and Mr. Frank Behrens. The music was arranged and played by Mr. Elwin Owen. Author's Playhouse was heard in Canada through the facilities of the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation. This is the National Broadcasting Company.
Around Dodge City and in the territory on west, there's just one way to handle the killers and the spoilers, and that's with a U.S. Marshal and the smell of gun smoke. Gunsmoke, starring William Conrad. The story of the violence that moved west with young America. The story of a man who moved with it. Matt Dillon, United States Marshal.
Palace, Marshal. I see you received my complaint.
I got it, Mingo. Where's Stanley?
Where do you think? Upstairs.
Brandy?
Naturally. She always does mother him when he's in trouble.
Be careful, Marshal. He might be dangerous.
Got a sweet word for Dixie?
Yeah. Move.
Oh, it's not very sweet. It was to the point. Say hello to Jim for me, huh?
Go away.
It's me, Brandy. Matt.
Come in, Matt. Join me in a drink?
Where is he, Brandy?
In the next room. Cried himself to sleep.
Save it, Brandy. I gotta take him.
Oh, why, Matt? Jim Stanley never did a mean thing in his life. He's no bad man.
He stole money from Mingo's roulette table and he threw a bottle at him when he was caught. Mingo's pressing charges. Stanley can clear himself in court.
Huh? Against Mingo's witnesses?
Do you bring Stanley out or do I go get him?
Go get him. But I wouldn't be proud, Matt.
Stick to running dance hall girls, Brandy. Let me run the law, huh? Stanley? Stanley!
Oh, it's you, Marshal. I was sleeping.
I want you to come with me, Jim.
Come with you? Sure, Marshal.
You better get up. Come on. Come on.
Oh, yeah. Oh, where are we going, Marshal? Would you like to visit my ranch? I got a new colt. The prettiest little sorrel you ever saw.
Jim,
she...
What? We're going to jail.
Jail? Me, Marshal? Do I have to?
Yes, Jim.
I've never been in a jail.
I'm sorry, Jim.
No. I can't go in there. Oh, Marshal, I ain't never been locked up before. Please, don't make me...
I have to.
I didn't mean to do it, honest. I just lost my head when I realized my money was gone. I wouldn't have kept those chips.
I know that.
I just grabbed them. I don't know why... They were there, and I just grabbed them, and then Mingo started in on me. He kept saying things, bad things about...
Take it easy, Jim.
I wouldn't have cared, except that, well, Dixie was there. He kept yelling at me that I was a thief right in front of her. I tried to make him stop, and he wouldn't. Then something happened. The bottle was there,
and... You threw it at Mingo?
No. I just threw it, Marshal. I was crazy. I didn't mean to hurt nobody.
I believe you, Jim.
Marshal, will you ask Dixie to come and see me later?
Yeah, sure, I'll ask.
Thanks. I just want to tell her not to blame Mingo for all this. She might say something or give up her job.
Don't worry, Jim. I don't think Dixie's going to give up anything.
He won't eat his dinner, Mr. Dillon. He just sits there staring.
Yeah, poor devil.
He won't really be convicted, will he?
Well, I hope not, Chester.
Mingo's the one who ought to be in jail.
Look, Chester, this isn't exactly my idea of justice either. A shady gambler against a simple-minded horse rancher.
Hello, Marshal. Goodbye, Chester.
Hmm? Oh, goodbye. I'll run along.
You stay put, Chester.
Oh, now, Marshal, I want to be alone with you.
I sent for you to come and visit Jim Stanley, and you better be nice to him.
Most fellows are tickled pink if I like them. They say I'm pretty.
You're pretty enough.
That's better. I knew you liked me.
I said you were pretty. I didn't say I liked you.
Oh, now that's nasty.
Would you like to hear what I really think of you?
No, don't bother. I get the idea.
You're Mingo's girl.
When I feel like it.
Then why do you have to tease a man like Stanley, drive him to drinking and gambling and trouble like he's in now?
He's sweet. He thinks I'm beautiful.
Yeah. But even men like him wake up. Stick to Mingo.
Hello, Marshal. Thought I'd drop in and see if your prisoner was all set for trial tomorrow.
Mingo, I want you to withdraw those charges.
And let that potential murderer go free? No.
You got back the chip Stanley took from your table, and his assaulting a man like you is ridiculous. He doesn't even wear a gun.
A bottle constitutes a deadly weapon. Look it up, Mark.
Why are you doing this, Mingo? Why pick on a man like Stanley?
Let's say I don't like him always slobbering over Dixie. She's private property.
For that greedy little vixen, you'd send Stanley to prison knowing that it'll probably crack his mind completely?
That's his problem.
You don't understand, Mingo. I don't like to see people pushed around.
Well, don't cross me, Marshal.
I already have.
People get dead that way.
Yeah, so I've heard. Now, just who are these witnesses of yours against Stanley?
Ned Cole, Saginaw Henry.
Both on your payroll.
Dixie, some of the other girls.
All working for you, huh?
Jim Stanley's as good as convicted, Marshal. There's not a thing you can do about it.
Here, man. Drink this.
Thanks, Brandy.
You know, all you need to do is stop fighting yourself, Matt. You're mixed up.
Yeah, that's sure true, Brandy. You know, it's funny. When it's something you can fight with your fists and your guns, it's easy. But how do you fight a deal like this?
You gotta clear Jim somehow.
With those witnesses against him, Jim can't win in court. Technically, he's a criminal.
Oh, criminal, my foot.
He admits the crimes. The judge will have to sentence him to at least a minimum jail term.
We know there are witnesses who can prove he's innocent. Now, a smart man would find a way to make him talk.
I've been thinking about it. Well, I'll tell Jim you were asking after him. I think he'd like that.
He's Dixie's. I had me a man once, Matt. I traded him for a bottle of brandy. I paid a stiff price for my name.
You're not through yet, Brandy.
Oh, sure. I play mother to everybody.
Take everybody's troubles on my shoulders. Help salve my conscience. Don't ever hurt a person, Matt. You never get through paying for it.
Well, I better be going.
Where?
To try to get some of those witnesses to talk. Hello, Saginaw.
Huh? Oh, it's you.
I've been looking for you.
Then you've been looking for trouble.
Well, you're beginning to sound like your boss, Mingo.
It's late. What do you want?
I want to read you something from this book.
What book?
This law book.
Oh, so?
First law I see says that anyone giving a drink to an Indian is liable to fine up to $500. I saw you buy an Indian Pete a drink only last week.
Pete's a stable boy. He ain't no savage.
Law doesn't say savage. Says Indian. Pete's an Indian, so technically you broke the law.
You can't make
Next
any...
one says any man that disrobes in a public place is guilty of committing a public nuisance. Carries a fine of $100.
Look, what the devil is all this?
I saw you breaking a horse down in Harrison's Corral a little while back. You took your shirt off, and that's disrobing in a public place. Technically.
You can't get away with this, Dillon.
How much you make a month, Saginaw?
50, 75.
Uh-huh. Well, the way it looks, I can get you fined on enough of these laws to keep you broke for about 5 years.
5 years?
Then we can start all over again.
You're bluffing. I never even heard of these
laws.
Well,
look for yourself here. If you witnesses are going to send Jim Stanley to jail on a technicality, then a lot of you are going to jail the same way.
Well, laws may be there, but they ain't fair.
All right, Saginaw, if that's how you want it. Come on, let's go to jail.
No, wait.
Well, then start talking.
Well, Dixie shilled Stanley into losing his money, and me and Ned Cole egged him into grabbing a couple of chips when the wheelman wasn't looking.
On Mingo's orders?
Sure. Stanley looked down at the chips we swiped, and he reached out to hand them back when Mingo jumped him.
What was Dixie doing?
I'm trying to keep from laughing.
Yeah, I'll bet. And then what?
Mingo rode Stanley hard to make him break down in front of Dixie. And finally, the poor lunkhead seemed to go crazy. He yelled and tossed a bottle at the bar.
Not at Mingo?
No, missed him by 10 feet. Stanley was just working off his mad by busting the bottle. Paid for it. I guess he had the right.
Yeah, I guess he had.
First, I think Mingo was just deviling Stanley, and then he got the idea to press charges and send him to jail. We got orders out of testifying.
Uh-huh. Well, thanks, Saginaw.
Marshal, I'd like you to know something.
Yeah?
I'm glad I told you about Stanley, because framing him into prison isn't my idea of something to be proud of.
It shouldn't be. Ah, good evening, Chester.
My, what are you so happy about, Mr. Dillon?
Everything, Chester, everything.
Is it about Jim Stanley?
It is about Jim Stanley. He's going to clear himself in court tomorrow. Come on, let's go tell him.
Well, gracious, that is good news. He couldn't have taken much more of being locked up.
I know. Hey, Jim, wake up. We're going to break... Jim.
Mr. Dillon, he's gone.
Both window bars are cut. Yeah. And here's what cut him.
A hacksaw blade. And look yonder, there's another.
Oh, that fool. Why couldn't he have waited one more day and he'd have been free?
Jim Stanley didn't have those hacksaw blades on him, Mr. Dillon. I know. I searched him good.
You searched Dixie good?
Oh, mercy no, Mr. Dillon. She's a girl.
He didn't have any other visitors?
No, sir. Mingo's gonna be awful mad when he finds out his girl helped Jim Stanley get away.
Come on.
You gonna arrest Dixie, Mr. Dillon?
I don't know, Chester. First, I gotta find her.
Hello,
will return for the second act of Gunsmoke in just a moment. But first, every Sunday on CBS Radio, hear both sides debate the issues on Pick the Winner. It's a program that brings in the top people from Democratic and Republican camps, standing their ground and delivering their views on the biggest questions of the campaign. Don't miss Pick the Winner, Sundays between now and November, to be fully informed when it comes time to vote. And remember, straight through election time, make CBS Radio your election headquarters. Now, the second act of Gunsmoke.
Late, aren't you, Marshal?
Where's Dixie, Mingo?
Dixie, she's gone. I don't know where she is.
You're lying.
No, I swear she disappeared hours ago.
I still think you're lying. Dixie's here someplace.
Nah, he's telling you the truth for once, man. Dixie's gone, all right.
Are you sure, Brandy?
Saw her ride out of town.
With Stanley?
Yeah, Matt. The two of them.
Dixie and Stanley?
Dixie passed him some saw blades. He cut his way out.
That rotten double-crossing hellcat.
She's your girl, Mingo.
I'll be the laughing stock of Dart City.
Good. I hope they laugh you clear out of Kansas.
That's the last thing I'll do. I'll find her, both of them.
Finding them is my job, Mingo.
Go ahead. But you better beat me to them, or you'll be arresting them dead.
They stopped here, all right. Probably changed horses and got some supplies.
That wasn't why Stanley came home. Look, Chester.
What?
Water in the stock trough is right up to the top. The barn's open. Feed pulled out where the stock can reach it. Even scared to death, Jim thought about his animals first.
Mr. Dillon, you think Mingo's trailing Stanley and Dixie, too?
Perhaps. It's one good reason why we better catch him quick. Come on.
Still no sign.
Looks like we've lost them for good now.
What do we do, go back, Mr. Dillon?
Well, we can't let Mingo find them.
Sure, but the way they've been zigzagging back and forth for the last 4 days, we don't have a chance in a thousand.
I'm not so sure, Chester.
Hmm?
You know, there's a certain pattern about the way Stanley and Dixie have been moving. I don't think they're trying to leave this section at all.
Yeah, we have been getting closer and closer to Dodge with every circle lately.
And not only to Dodge.
Mr. Dillon, you got an idea?
Yeah, maybe. Come on, we'll ride back to Stanley's ranch.
You think they came back here?
I will soon find out. But from what we saw here before, I'll bet Stanley's not the kind to stay away from his ranch for very long.
What? I'm...
Hit the dirt, Chester. Behind the trough.
Yeah. It's Jim Stanley. There's his horse.
Yeah. All right, keep your eyes open.
Stanley! Jim, it's Matt Dillon. Let me talk to you.
You go away, Marshal. I don't want to hurt you, but I ain't going back to that jail. You go away now. I'll kill you.
Jim, listen to me. I've got a witness.
You better leave quick now. Please, Marshal.
Mr. Dillon, I'm getting wet.
That's better than getting shot. Keep your head down.
Yes, sir. Sure he is wet.
Stanley's in a good position. Closest cover for us is the barn. That's across 50 yards of clearing. That's a long run.
He could pick us off before we made 10 feet.
Yeah. Jim! I'm not leaving until I've talked to you!
Leave me alone, Marshal! Can't you leave me alone?
I'm coming to talk to you, Jim!
No! No, stay back! I warn you!
Mr. Dillon, don't do it. That's a crazy man.
That's a frightened man, Chester.
I'm coming unarmed, Jim. I don't think you're a murderer, but if you are, this is your chance.
Well.
Good luck, Mr. Dillon.
Stanley's shot sliced across my side like a branding iron. It was all I could do to ignore my fear and keep going. But somehow I reached the ranch house alive. And I opened the door. Jim Stanley stood there holding his gun. And crying. Jim.
I didn't mean it. I didn't mean it. I was only trying to scare you. I'm not a killer. I never shot anybody in my life. Honest, Marshal, I can't even shoot a rabbit.
I know that, Jim.
I'm afraid. I've always been afraid of things. I try like be like other people, it only seems to bring trouble.
You can stop being afraid of the law and jail right now. That's all over with.
You mean that, Marshal? Really?
Really.
But I shot you.
Did you? No, I don't recall.
Oh, but Mr. Dillon, shot hit your side. Right there. You see it? It's bleeding.
Now, Jim, listen to me. You didn't shoot me.
Oh, well, all right, if you say so, Mr. Dillon.
I say so. Here, I'll take that rifle. Now, let's go back to town and get this business settled, huh?
You've been good to me, Marshal.
Forget it, Jim. There is one thing, though. Dixie.
Oh, she brought me hacksaw blades.
I know that.
She said you were going to hang me and that I had to escape. She kept saying it.
She was riding with you. But where is she now?
Oh, she left me last night. I was glad. I was nearly wild listening to her talk about you and prison. I even swore I'd kill myself before I'd go back to jail.
I'm glad you didn't mean it.
Oh, I meant it at the time. Oh, I was sure scared.
You feel better now?
Oh, yeah. Yes, I know everything's just going to be fine.
The rifle slug splashed the side of Jim's face with red, and he crumpled into the dirt. From the water trough, Chester opened up and drew the fire of whoever was hiding in the hayloft of the barn. I could see a gun barrel poking out from the side of the hayloft. And I picked up Stanley's rifle. Mingo.
Mr. Dillon, are you all right?
Yeah, Chester. But Mingo's dead.
Well, how about
Jim Stanley, Mr. Dillon?
Yeah, he was scared more than hurt. He should come to any minute.
Well, my goodness. Oh, this looks like a sure enough war's been happening around here.
Where have you been, Dixie?
Oh, sure now, Marshal. A girl's got a right to look after her investments. My Mingo and Stanley both dead. Well, now that's a real shame.
Hmm? Oh, but Jim Stanley's gonna
Chester,
be
a... you said investments. The only investment you've made is prison time for helping Jim escape.
Me? Well, how are you going to prove anything, Marshal? With Jim dead.
But he's...
Chester, why don't you go look after the horses?
But Mr. Dillon...
Yes, sir?
It's a right good thing, because I'm going to be terribly busy, you know, taking care of poor Jim's ranch and money And, of course, the funeral and everything.
Why should all that concern you, Dixie?
Because I'm Jim Stanley's widow.
What?
I married him 3 days ago in this city. It was such a sweet wedding.
Yeah, I'm sure it was.
And now all I have left are some memories. And, of course, this little old ranch and Jim's money.
Dixie, there's something you should know.
Hmm?
You also got a husband. Have you heard enough, Jim?
Enough.
Jim! When I saw you fall...
You're bad, Dixie.
Oh, Jim, you mustn't pay no mind to what I said. I was upset. Didn't I come back just to be with you?
No good, Dixie. Jim's on to you now.
Jim, are you going to let him talk to me like that?
He's my friend. And I don't like you now, Dixie.
Oh, that's too bad. I'm still your wife.
Marshal, can she make that stick?
Well, by law, you have to support her, Jim. Of course, I don't say how.
Marshal, you stop putting ideas
in... And, of course, she has to take care of your house for you, Jim. Clean it, do the chores, cook for you.
Cook? Me? Cook for him?
He can make you, Dixie. It's his right.
Oh, right or not, I'd like to see him try.
He can do it, Dixie.
Yeah? Well, they can't if I'm not here. And I'm leaving right now.
You want to ride into town with us, Jim?
No. I think I'd rather stay here for a while, Marshal. If it's all right.
Yeah, sure. I'll fix it. But in a few days, when you feel like it, come in and see me, and we'll help you get that divorce taken care of.
Divorce?
On grounds of desertion. She just deserted you, remember? Chester and I are your witnesses.
Oh. Well, thanks, Marshal. I sure do thank you.
So long, Jim.
Goodbye, Marshal. Bye.
Come on, Chester, let's go.
He's had it too rough out here on the frontier, hasn't he, Mr. Dillon? Jim Stanley, I mean. It's addled him, sort of.
Yeah, I guess that's it, Chester.
Men like him need looking after.
Yeah, we got all kinds out here, Chester. Come on, let's get back to town.
Gunsmoke, under the direction of Norman MacDonald, stars William Conrad as Matt Dillon, U.S. Marshal. Tonight's story was specially written for Gunsmoke by Herb Purdom, with music composed and conducted by Rex Corey. Featured in the cast were John Daner and Michael Ann Barrett, with Paul Dubov, Vivi Janis, and Bill Lally. Parley Bear is Chester. Join us again next week as Matt Dillon, U.S. Marshal, fights to bring law and order out of the wild violence of the West in Gunsmoke. Tomorrow's speakers on Pick the Winner, representing both the major parties, will be Harold Stassen, Republican, and George Ball, Democrat. Listen for this important program, Pick the Winner, tomorrow and every Sunday from now to November. This is Roy Rowan speaking, and this is the CBS Radio Network.
That's the Relic Radio Show for this week. I'll be back next Tuesday with another hour. In between now and then, you can find more from the shows you heard today, past episodes of this show, all the other podcasts, our Shoutcast stream, and our donate button if you'd like to help support all that at RelicRadio.com. Your donations make all of this possible. Thank you very much to those who have. Thanks for joining me today. Talk to you again next week with another episode of the Relic Radio Show. Relic Radio Show is produced by and for RelicRadio.com. Rebroadcast of this show without permission is strictly prohibited.